Chapter 14 is where we're at this morning. My goodness, we've got to get going. There is no clock in the back, so I have no idea when to stop. So when I'm finished, y'all just leave, and I'll just keep going. But I've got a watch on, so we should be good to go. But we are gearing up for Vacation Bible School. I tell you, Vacation Bible School is one of my most favorite times of the year. There is much work that gets done. It's a long week. It's a tiring week, but it's an awesome week. And I am so grateful our church is willing to get behind a Vacation Bible School program. And we'll be good to go next Sunday evening. But we need to get prepared for it. Not just decorations. And if we're in the back for Sunday school, you'll see all kinds of decorations up for Vacation Bible School. We're going to transform the auditorium this week, so you'll see it next week. We'll be ready for it, but more so than we need to decorate and get everything ready and in place, we need to be prepared spiritually. Bible school is a week that will make or break you, and it really comes down to not in a physical way, but in a spiritual way. And there is a certain amount of commitment that is required, that is necessary to complete a week like we're getting ready to go through. So I want to help us with this and kind of in a way of preparation for this coming week and the week following through Vacation Bible School. But I want to begin reading this morning in Luke chapter 14 in verse number 25. The Bible says, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said to them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest, haply, after he that hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, and behold, it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out, and he that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Let's pray this morning, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, I come to you, and God, we so desperately need you. We need your power. We need your grace. We need your mercy. We need your input on our lives. Father, may each one of us yield ourselves to you this day. God, if there's one here that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, God, I pray this morning that they would not get caught up in how good they think they must be to obtain eternal life, but Father, may they clearly see that your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross of Calvary, rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and has left for them the gift of eternal life that cannot be obtained by good works, that cannot be attained by purchasing it, but by only accepting your gift. And God, I pray this morning that as we begin to prepare spiritually for the week that is before us, next week through Vacation Bible School, I pray that we would make it a matter of seriousness about our lives as we seek to serve you, as we seek to share the gospel with boys and girls throughout our community and even throughout our own church. God, may we be able to look back and say and know that you have done a mighty work, and God, will be humbled if you'll let us serve you in that way. Help us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. It's an interesting passage of Scripture here from verse 25 down through verse 35. Of course, I want to give you the setting. As we see, Jesus traveled around a lot. If the message of the gospel and the kingdom was going to be given, it wasn't going to be from one central location. And so Jesus spent his time a little over 3 years traveling and reaching as many people possible. The fame of Jesus went throughout the land, many knowing his name but never seeing his person. And so when folks would hear that Jesus was nearby, they would often find out where he was at, and crowds would begin to gather around him. Some would come to hear what he has to say as he was in public. They wanted to hear his parables and his teachings, and they wanted to hear what he had to say, and they wanted to find out what he was all about. Many others came to be healed or to even see the miracles that Jesus would perform. And my goodness, we could go through all the miracles of Jesus that he performed and the mighty acts that he was able to do while he was here. And it was just simply amazing. Others went just out of curiosity, just to see what was taking place. There were others that would go to tempt him, to try to trick him, because they saw the fame that he was subassing and bringing together, and they were, of course, concerned with that and concerned with what he was going to do and how he would shake things up. And so this is one of those moments that a great multitude had gathered around. And as we're thinking about this commitment that is necessary in serving the Lord Jesus Christ and in giving our lives to him as he gave his life to us, of course, I think it's very important to note that in any service that we can do for the Lord Jesus Christ has absolutely nothing to do with our eternal salvation. How many of you are glad for that? There is nothing that I can do to be good enough or strong enough or spiritual enough. There is no service that I could perform that would make me good enough to obtain heaven. Jesus has already done that. And so while we think about these relationships or this idea of commitment, we need to understand what it is that we are committing to. And we have these terms of commitment. Now, in this, Jesus is talking about a personal relationship here. Of course, Jesus goes through and he begins using some language that quite frankly is and can be a little disturbing at times when you consider what Jesus is saying here. Look with me, if you will, again to verse number 26. Jesus said, "If any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And I will tell you, this is a great reaching of commitment, isn't it? As we see Jesus here, he's saying, hey, you got to hate everybody else around you. And I'll tell you, he didn't beat around the bush either. This wasn't we're in the middle of an election year, aren't we? You know, we hear all kinds of promises, what somebody's going to do or what somebody's not going to do. And this was not an election year for Jesus. He wasn't worried about public opinion. Amen? Okay. He wasn't worried about it. He said, you must hate your family. What he's saying here is Jesus has to come first.
You say, "Preacher, I have a great problem with this." Well, that's okay. When Jesus is saying in this, he's saying when it comes to the commitment level that we have to Jesus, our commitment level and our love for him ought to be so great, it ought to be so amazing, that in comparison to how we have a relationship with our family, it ought to seem as if we hate them. He says, if any man come to me, he needs to understand that I must be first. He must be chosen unconditionally as the Lord of our life. To be committed to Christ, that our love for him seems to be a hate for everything else. He said, if any man come to me, he must hate not his father, his mother, his wife, and children, and brethren, and yea, his own life also. Now we know that through this, if we love anybody, who do we love? We love ourselves. We love ourselves more than anything else. And Jesus says, even your love for yourself, you see, he's talking not just about the personal relationships that we have, but in turn, he's also talking about the personal desires that we have. He said, even our own life must we hate. He says, carrying the cross, notice verse number 27, he says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Notice again the personal sacrifice and the personal commitment that is necessary in being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Carrying our cross again means setting a path towards death. It's interesting to me that in this passage of Scripture, I mean, we're about halfway through the book of Luke, a little over halfway through. Jesus knows his own fate. Jesus knows what is going to take place in his life. He knows what he has been sent to do. And yet here, before he goes to his own cross and carries his own cross and gives his own life for us, he says here in this passage, he said, whosoever does not bear his own cross. Again, our own personal desires must be crucified, so to speak. You see, we all have goals, we all have plans, we all have ambitions in life. When's the last time you ran those through and checked with God first? He said, well, I want to do this, I want to do that. And we make all of these plans and we don't even think to consider what God might have in place of what we want. Jesus said, if you don't bear your own cross, our personal desires, death to our own will, our own goal. Notice in verse number 28, he says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether ye have sufficient to finish it? He says, all right. He says, you're going to build a tower. He says, you sit down, you count the cost. I mean, nobody starts building and says, oh, I don't know what it's going to cost. It doesn't matter. He says, you need to know if you're going to have enough to finish it. He says, so you build, you start building, and notice in verse number 29, he said, lest haply, after that he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, and behold, it began to mock him. Notice this. It doesn't say his friends began to not mock him. It doesn't even say his parents. It doesn't say his wife. He doesn't say anything else. He says the project itself begins to mock him. He says, who does that? Who does that? Saying this man began to build and was not able to finish. In verse 31, he says, or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Now, it would just basic math, really basic math here. How many of you know and understand that 20,000 is more than 10,000?
Okay, good. So if you didn't know that, that's your lesson for today. 20,000 is greater than 10,000. So if we have 10,000 over here, 20,000 over here, we would put the alligator mouth, I don't know if they still call that in school, but that's greater than on this side because the alligator is going to eat on this side because it's more, and less than on this side. So who wouldn't over here with 10,000 over here and 20,000 over here? I may have switched sides, I'm not sure. But if you have that and say, all right, how can I beat that? Just the numbers alone would say 20,000 is a lot more difficult to beat with 10,000. Now, 20,000 versus 20,000, we've got a little more equal odds. So how am I going to win with just 10,000 when he has 20? Now, it can be done. And it is possible to do, but somebody that is a smart king that's going to make war, or going to do this, is going to figure out a way that, hey, I've got 10,000, he has 20. How am I going to do this? And he's going to have a plan. He's going to have an idea in place. But then if he figures out, you know what? We're not going to do this. He's going to have a plan. And he says in verse number 32, he says, or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. He says, when we see this and we see that we're up against unsurmountable odds, he said he's going to send some ambassadors their way and try to come up with a peace agreement because he knows he's going to lose. Can I just fill you in on something? With our personal possessions are involved here, we need to get a loose grip of our earthly stuff. Because it's going to stay here when we're gone. And at some point, clinging to our possessions and trying to get ahead in earthly positions will at some point in time draw us away from the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get a loose grip of it. We see these reasons for commitment here as he gives this parable of the builder and this parable of the king. He's going through something here because he says, who would be willing to build a life that's not going to last for Christ? Notice in this, he's talking about the commitment and he's giving these two parables. I mean, what would the point be of just being a Christian? I mean, I don't even know if there's such a thing of just a Christian, just a church member, just a believer in God. My goodness, there's something so much more than this. But there's a cost involved. And this parable of the building is to say that we need to be standing and building a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ and not just have the foundation, but be able to complete this thing. And it's going to take a commitment. If we're going to be in this, we may as well be in it. Amen? This king, is, if he's prepared, can claim the victory. But if he's unprepared, there's certain defeat. My goodness, we're in a battle today, aren't we? We're in a battle against the flesh. I mean, we have this. And really, it seems like too often that it's even a losing battle. I mean, next week as we go through Vacation Bible School, I promise you this, you will be tired. If you start on Sunday and you make it to Friday, by the time you make it to Friday, you'll be tired. So I don't want to be tired. That's okay. You can always have rest, amen? But you will be physically tired. There are things that happen during a week of VBS that will try your patience. Oh my. There will be times during a week VBS like this that you will lose the battle. I've lost many battles during VBS with the flesh. Many battles. Why? Here's the thing, we don't have to. We can be prepared. We can get this ready. Because we need to understand that at the end of the day, while it takes a commitment, while it takes a preparation, while it takes all of these things, there is a greater purpose at stake. Notice in the last two verses here, he says, salt is good. Salt is good. But if the salt has lost his savor,
wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. You see, salt is only valuable when it possesses the unique quality of its saltiness. Some, we cook with salt. We use salt. Our body needs salt. We require it. It's a must. It is necessary for adequate life. Well, Jesus here is comparing our lives and our influence to the same influence of salt. Let me ask you something. Are you bland? Are you spiritually bland? I mean, if you're added into something, do you change it? Can you change it? You see, Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. He told us that. We can make a difference. And we can make a difference each and every day, and we ought to make a difference each and every day. We ought to at least seek to be an influence to somebody around us. And man, what a week we have coming up to be able to be an influence to some little boys and girls for the cause of Christ. But if we've lost our saltiness, how good will we be? See, Christians are only of practical value when we possess, again, that unique quality of Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness, that is our saltiness, if you will, is we must be like Christ. We bear the name Christian, but can I tell you, Christian is more than just a name. It is certainly more than just a name. I don't even like cheapening it by calling it a lifestyle. But it is a change. And there is a change that needs to be made. Jesus said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. He said, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while he is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all he hath cannot be my disciple. Salt is good. But if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Where is your commitment level? And I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying this morning. I'm not talking about a commitment level to your church. I'm not talking about a commitment level even to the children of the church. What is your commitment level to Christ? I'm only talking one area of commitment of a week of vacation Bible school, but honestly, this ought to be our entire life.
that we are committed to Christ. I mean, look, I'm of a mind that I can do almost anything for a week. I can do almost anything for a week. Can give up, can have less sleep, can have all these things, because in the next week we're just back to normal. What does normal mean? What is normal? If normal is not doing anything for Christ, I'll tell you, 1 week's not going to make a difference. Not much, anyway. Yeah, we can give it. Oh, yeah. But you see, if we make the commitment to Christ, to say, I'm His. And man, we can do it for a month. We could do it for a year. We could do it for the rest of our life. Why? Because I'm committed to Him. You see, it's called commitment. Where am I at? Where am I at when it comes to this thing of being salty? Have I lost my savor? Let's get it back. Can I say it like this? Let's get salty. We begin to sweat. Salt comes out. It must be replaced. We can be refreshed. Let this be a week of refreshing your spirit, refreshing your soul, that you might be salty, that we might get something accomplished for the cause of Christ. And we can do this together, and we can do this as a church family to see something done for God. Let's get salty. But it takes commitment. Again, commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Where are you at? You say, I'm right here, preacher. I know that. And I'm so grateful you're here. But where are you at? Are you committed to Christ? Are you committed to do what He would have you to do? You say, I'm sold out. I'm committed. It's possible that you may not even be able to help with Vacation Bible School. I don't want you to misunderstand that I don't question your commitment at all if that's you. Not everybody can do it. I totally understand that. I get that. But there's more to life. There's more to serving Jesus than just a week of Vacation Bible School. There's more to serving Jesus than just attending a church service. There's more to serving Jesus than just putting something in an offering plate. There's more to serving Jesus than all of that. There's a whole lot more. And all of it takes commitment. All of it takes commitment. Father, as we go to this invitation time, I pray and ask that You would just meet our needs according to Your will. God, I want to be sold out, wholly committed to You. May this not be a matter of public opinion, but may it be a matter of scriptural basis that we are to serve You, that we are to give You all that we have for Your honor and Your glory. Help us in this. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As you stand to your feet, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. The piano is playing, More Love to Thee. Respond.